Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Tonight you're mine.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Scott Arno is our guest, our good friend, the security advocate, vice president, Soho Solutions. And we're talking about security challenges that we all have. In the previous segment, we talked about the unlikelihood that Hillary Clinton's email server was never breached. And Scott, you were about to say something when we went to the break that I had to stop you on. If you'll remind yourself of that, and tie that into the phishing thing that we were going to talk about this segment.
Actually, it does tie right into the phishing thing, now that you mention it. Just generally speaking, what I often find with security training is sometimes there's this viewpoint, sort of it all starts at the top. Sometimes it'll be a view that, oh, well, the lower-level employees should learn what not to do, but the upper-level employees are so busy, you don't really have time for this, let the security guys handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And to an extent, I know Ms. Clinton's answer about, I guess it was, I opted for the email address out of convenience to
keep
them all in one place.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure that was an evil thing. That might have literally been, well, it's easier. Now, from a security standpoint, was it smart? No, not at all. But sometimes I find with higher-level executives, there's too much of a, well, look, I've got other stuff to do. We've got other people to worry about this. This isn't my issue. This isn't my concern. Realistically, with security, it has to start at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your upper-level employees don't understand and respect security, your organization is not going to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have C-level executives with, you know, three-letter passwords going, yeah, our organization's good, because hackers will go in and target those people.
Well, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Here she is from literally day one of being signed in. She starts out with her own email address, but within a year or two, she puts a memo out to all the other State Department people and says to them, you must have a government email account.
That's a good point, Jim.
So that's the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a classic example. The thing is, it's not just limited to her. So I know that's certainly the big thing in the news. Tons of organizations do this. This is not at all uncommon, and I've certainly seen it where an organization has a relatively decent security posture going up until you get to the very high levels. Then you look and your jaw's hanging loose, like, really? This is how you guys are securing your systems? Are you insane? You're the highest level people in here. You're the first targets hackers go after. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? You know, obviously, mm-hmm. I'd say it in a somewhat nicer fashion than that. But
when you say it like that, can I be there? I'd like to watch.
Yeah, right. Mr. Arno, could you please leave the premises? I think
Mr. Arno,
that
this man here will escort you out.
Exactly.
The man with a gun will escort you out.
Precisely. So with respect to something like phishing scams, it's funny. You know, we see them, and I think most of us go, oh, I totally figured that out. The problem is they're a lot better than people think they are.
Yeah, they are.
And a lot of them are targeted specifically at businesses, and I can tell you how they will break down, and you'll think about it for a second and go, whoa, yeah, that would be really hard to defend against.
Right.
There's one in particular called a business email compromise. There was a warning that came out earlier this year from the Internet Crime Complaint Center, or IC3, specifically detailing how this works. And to give you some idea of scale, just from a period of just over a year, going to the end of 2014, the total number of U.S. victim companies that the FBI found out about, doesn't mean all of them, just the ones they know about, was just under 1,200,
uh-huh.
And the total U.S. dollar loss was almost $180 million.
Wow.
So if you do the quick math, that's about $100,000 per hit.
Wow.
And it's not just in the U.S., mind you, all 50 states have been hit. It's also internationally. I think about another 40 or 50 countries have been hit. And if you add
and what would, how would the cost, what would that cost look like? I mean, let's talk about how that scam actually happens.
Okay, Jim, let's say you're a small or medium-sized company. You're dealing with international vendors to produce your products. Now, the hacker attacks you, gets into your system, doesn't have to get into the whole network, just maybe compromises an email of a relevant employee or two, finds out who deals with wire transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Then they see which vendors send them invoices, and they set up an email which looks like it's coming from that vendor, and it'll be really, really accurate.
Right.
The language will be good, and they won't even have to send the invoices. All they'll do is say, oh, we've just updated our systems. We've changed the wire transfer information. Please update your records accordingly. And everything will look legit. Mm-hmm. And if this stuff isn't checked...
It'll look legit because they're inside modeling their email to you as if the way you typically see them from internal emails.
Oh, not even internal. It can be external coming from the other company. And the thing is, the other company has nothing to do with this.
But they're not just probing you with a generic, well-thought-out email. This is inside information they're using.
Oh, yeah. It's a little more detailed. You'd call it spear phishing, which is a little more directed individually.
Right.
Now, imagine what happens next. Okay, they've changed your wire transfer information. All they have to do is sit back. Your vendor then sends you legitimate invoices, which, because the wire transfer information is changed, and the only person who knows this is your person in charge of the wire transfer info, you wind up sending out the money to the wrong bank. And it will then be moved around and dispersed very quickly. So you wind up with a vendor who's sending you legitimate invoices, mm-hmm. never gets paid because it's being sent out to the fraudsters, and then you're going to wind up with a double problem. On the one hand, the money has gone out to basically fraudulent actors and away from where it's supposed to go. On the other hand, you've just not paid your vendor, who's probably going to wind up suing you because they're not getting paid and they didn't do anything wrong.
And how much recourse do you have when this happens? I mean, if you send the money out, the bank's not going to make you whole on this, are they?
Very unlikely. A lot of times what will happen is cyber insurance can help here, depending on how the specific policies are worded.
Right, right.
One thing that's really tricky with cyber liability insurance is that there's no standard form yet. I have a friend, Roberta Anderson, is a very good attorney in this area. She basically says that they're all like snowflakes.
Wow.
So every single one of them is different.
Every policy has to be underwritten differently. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Scott, I need your website, please.
To deal with. Sorry?
Your website?
Oh, sorry. TheSecurityAdvocate.com.
Scott Arnou, ladies and gentlemen. A-U-R-N-O-U. That's how you spell his last name.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.